Blog Talk Radio.
The following has taken place during Total Sports Live. Chip Kelly, a lot of things happened with the Philadelphia Eagles organization last week, from Tom Gamble getting fired to Howie Roseman getting a new position to eventually ending up with Chip Kelly having all the power, and he is the man with the power in his hand. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the defensive pass interference. Should the flagman picked up, should have left there? And Dez Bryant, we're going to talk about, is Dez Bryant, well, he should have been called for penalty. We're going to talk about that too, and we're also going to end off talking about some things on a Saturday note, but we'll get to that point as we do. But if you always want to get in and come in and chime in, or your thoughts and reactions to anything we talk about, you can get in at 714-868-0800. That is 714-868-0800. But always, let's get the show on the road. You know her. We all know her. She's been on the show McConkie times, my co-host, who is always cool as the other side. Who's always cool as the other side of the pillow. Angela Montoni from Buzz on Broad joining me tonight.
Well, hello. That was very nice. I love the homage you paid to Stuart Scott right there, giving you that description. I feel honored for that. So thank you.
Oh, no problem. No problem. Gotta do it for the man. Gotta do it for the man.
Yeah, we lost a great voice this weekend.
Really did. And he would probably be talking, if he was still here, I would be talking about those Philadelphia Eagles. Because he was on, he did a lot of NFL countdown stuff. And let's talk about those Eagles. Wow, Chip Kelly becomes the man in power. We thought coming into last week's show, folks, that we were going to be talking about the Philadelphia 76ers. And shockingly, they beat the Cavs tonight. But we thought we were going to talk about the Eagles. But we're talking about the Eagles and Chip Kelly now having all the power. Tom Gamble gets fired. Basically have to get escorted out of the Eagles facility. And then Howie Roseman and him, and they must have had all this meeting, and, you know, Howie comes a new position. Basically, he's just a salary cap guy. And Chip is now the de facto GM, a.k.a. the personnel guy for the Eagles, making trades, you know, picking the players that he wants. So, Angela, what do you think about these turns of events? It's like the world is returning. It was like a soap opera breaking out every day.
It really is. And to be completely honest with you, when it first happened, I had mixed emotions about it. Because I felt like it was like Jeffrey Lurie's attempt to throw Kelly under the bus. Like, okay, give him all the power, let him pick his players. And then when he crashed the burn, it's like, oh, well, it was his fault. He stuck them all. And then that was kind of how they were going to wash their hands of him. That's what I felt like it was an attempt to do when it first came out, because for whatever reason, Jeffrey has always stood by Howie, and Howie's his guy. And so that's what I felt it was originally. And then once more and more came out about it, it was just like, wait, he doesn't really have any power in choosing anything anymore. So like, you can finally take a draft and look at a draft and evaluate it in terms of head coach and not in terms of a beat counter and not a football mind. And I think that Kelly was furious when Tom Gamble was let go, and I think he was ready to walk, and that's why Jeffrey Lurie had to do this. He had no choice.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. I kind of played the snare in my head. It was like Chip went in his offense, basically put a proverbial gun to his head. I'm not trying to be violent, folks, but kind of put the proverbial gun to his head so that you don't. Either you do this or I'm out of here, because there's a college out there that probably will throw tons of money at me to have my services, and you guys know that you need me more than I need you, per se. So I think that's probably how it played out. You know, you're right that, you know, he had to make this move because he had to satisfy Kelly and Kelly's needs. And it's funny thing that you brought up the draft, because I know you've been listening to sports radio probably a lot this week, this past week, and, you know, and read the stories and stuff online. Supposedly Chip Kelly has his own set of guys for the draft. That's where we get in this whole him and Howie Roseman having their clash of the clash of the Titans, as it seems like. Because on draft day, supposedly, Kelly and his guys went into the draft room and tore down what Roseman and his guys had done and put up what he wanted to do, who he wanted to pick. And guess right. who he wanted to pick in the first round? Jordan Matthews. And who did he want to pick in the second round? Taylor Hart.
And Jordan Matthews had himself a nice little season.
Right. But is he first-round talent to reach for? That's the question. You still there, Angela?
No, I said that. I guess that remains to be seen. Like, he probably could be first round. I mean, I want to see how he develops over the next, like, you know, year or so.
Right. No, I definitely agree with you on that. I definitely agree with you on that part. And we do have a caller on the line from.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we have a caller from the 717. I honestly do not know who this is. Usually people that call them, we know who it is, but I don't know who this person is. Calling from the 717. Caller, give us your name and what you want to talk about tonight on the podcast.
This is Dallas Mike. How's it going?
Doing good. How about you?
Good. Hey, Dallas Cowboys fan here. We don't care about the pass interference. It was a penalty. So what? Listen. So what? We're moving on. Detroit's going home. It's over with.
And you're not making it out of Lambeau. And even if you do, you're not making it out of Seattle. So, I mean, why did you even bother to call?
Well, I called because I'll tell you why I think we have a chance at Green Bay. Because of Aaron Rodgers' calf injury. Normally, I would admit, as a Cowboys fan, we probably wouldn't win in Green Bay for a lot of reasons, including the weather, you know, Green Bay having a bye. But if Aaron Rodgers isn't 100% and he's not moving around, or he has to go out of the game for a while like he did against Detroit in the last game of the season, I think it gives Dallas a fighter's chance to win. I don't know if they will, but I'm just saying if Rodgers isn't 100%, I think they could pull it off. I'd like your two thoughts on if Rodgers is injured in that game, if that gives Dallas a puncher's chance to win.
All right, I'll take it first. If Rodgers is injured,
if
Rodgers is injured and he's hobbled by that calf, I would give the Cowboys a fighting chance, just because when you have a quarterback like Rodgers and like Romo, like you guys in Dallas, you know, with Romo, when a player has an injury that's hindering to his mobility, that can cause issues. We saw that with Romo throughout the past couple of years, this season, you know, when he had his back injury, it definitely hindered his mobility. Same thing with Rodgers. If Rodgers' calf is in 100%, then that hinders his mobility to get out the pocket, which will put pressure, which will help the Cowboys bring pressure from his defensive line. So I do think they give the Cowboys a puncher's chance. But again, for the Cowboys, for me, I think it's going to be up to if the defense can limit the Packers passing game. That's going to be a test for them, because they faced Megatron and did okay. Golden Tate had a couple of big plays, but they're now going up against a tougher test when you have Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson, and all those boys in Green Bay. So I think it should be a good game. And as you said, the calf injury isn't 100%, then I definitely think they have a puncher's chance.
Well, let me ask you this question, a hypothetical question. Now, obviously, you're Eagles fans. I'm a Cowboys fan, but you know, we can talk here and be civil. I like your perspective. Let's say the Cowboys somehow did go on a run and win the Super Bowl and win six championships. What's the feeling in Philly? How much does that really like tear at Eagles fans if the Cowboys were to pull this off somehow?
Oh, that's so laughable. That's so cute. That's so cute. You really think the Cowboys are going to go into Seattle and win? That's adorable.
I applaud you for your optimism.
That's so adorable. That's not happening.
What if they do it?
Oh, my God. If it does, I mean, I need whatever kind of booze cocktail you're working with, buddy.
I've seen Stranger Things. You know, I mean, they already did beat Seattle once in Seattle this year.
When they were like, look at the season in comparison, right, how they finished the season. They obviously started the season all slow and then finished strong. They started with Super Bowl hangover and then got together and realized, oh, man, we can't do this all season long. And they're the most feared team in the NFL, not just the NFC. Well, that's adorable. If you get through Lambeau, good for you. But if you really think you're making it out of the clink, that's so cute.
Well, I would disagree. Right now, I think New England's the best team in the league. I think New England's better than Seattle. I think with the addition of Revis and their secondary and just the urgency for Brady, you know, not winning a Super Bowl in all these years, I think New England just has that feel to me as the team that's going to win it all this year. And that's just my opinion.
No, I can see that. You got any more questions for us for tonight?
No, I just while I'm on the phone, you know, I do live near Philadelphia. I follow the Eagles a lot.
Uh-huh.
In my opinion, if Foles wouldn't have went down, I think they probably would have won the division over Dallas. I as a Cowboy fan, I can admit stuff. You know, I'm a fan, but I'm objective. You know, I can look at it from that way. Let me ask you guys this. If Chip Kelly doesn't get his quarterback, if it's not Foles, if it's not Sanchez, can't get someone like Mariota, and, you know, the recent problems with, you know, the front office, you know, whoever's trying to run, you know, player personnel, do you think Chip Kelly could have a short stint in Philadelphia, maybe 3 or 4 years, and then go back to either college or the NFL? Because it seems like, you know, the management's kind of giving him a hard time here.
That's a good question. I think that, you know, depending with this new role that he has, the player personnel, I think we'll definitely see what he has in store and what his football mind is. And we're going to see the kind of players that he brings in, and, you know, especially at the quarterback position, what players he brings in to fit his program. I mean, if they don't get that quarterback and things go downhill, then, you know, definitely he could go back to college. I mean, as we opened up the show, we said, you know, there's probably colleges that probably will give him all the money in the world. Reportedly Michigan wanted to give to Harbaugh. So I definitely think that could be a possible option 3 or 4 down years of the road if things go totally south from like 10-6 and go down to like 6-10, 5-11.
Okay. Well, hey guys, I do appreciate the time, and you guys have a good evening.
Oh, thanks again for calling in.
Yeah, you
bet.
Do.
Thank you.
So that was Dallas Mike from the 717.
I'm sorry.
I think we'll definitely have something to talk about in the after show, which is not broadcast.
Random Dallas Cowboy fan just calls the show.
Definitely. But, hey, that means they're getting out there and listening to it.
And
if you want to call in,
I was going to suggest they're going to win the Super Bowl this year. I'm sorry. I couldn't help it. It's like, you're so cute. Like, it's so adorable.
And if you want to call in like Dallas Mike just did, you can call in at 714-868-0800. That's 714-868-0800. You can call in. We always invite callers from everywhere from across the country, and it obviously seems like he somehow found our link and, you know, wanted to call in, so that's very nice of him to call in. But back to the topic at hand, with about 14 minutes to go, he talked about that defensive pass interference, and let's talk about that defensive pass interference, because I don't know what he saw there, but what I saw and what we saw, what we all saw on Twitter and whatever social media he was on, that was a pass interference by technical rule, if you get what I'm saying.
How many times did we watch Bradley Fletcher do the same thing? Turn your body and make a play on the ball. He did the same thing that Bradley Fletcher got a flag every single play on the field for. We know what that looks like. How many times did we see it this season?
No, you're right. And a funny thing on Twitter, everybody was talking about Bradley Fletcher as the poster boy for having his head not turned around. And he never got the benefit of the call. He would always get called for the defensive pass interference. And the funny thing about this, it wasn't funny because I really felt bad for Lions fans, because that where the momentum slowly turned the opposite direction. That really was bad for them. Was that when the defensive pass interference is thrown, everybody's in an uproar. Everybody's like, this is a good call. That is true. That's a good call. It really is for this pass interference by the book. That's pass interference. Then, all of a sudden, if people were paying attention, you see Dez Bryant come out on the field with no helmet on, arguing the call. First of all, sir, you were not playing.
And that's unsportsmanlike right there.
Exactly. So that should have been 15 yards. And also, Hitchens could have been called for holding because he was holding Pettigrew at the same time. He was holding Pettigrew before he got into his route when the ball was thrown. So you can go with DPI. You can go with unsportsmanlike, but you call with flag. You can go with the holding. But obviously none of that was called. So what happened? Dallas gets the ball back. They go on a run. They go on a drive, score a touchdown. Game over. Funny part is on that Dallas drop, there should have been a couple of holds called on Dallas offensive line. That was not seen. But I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist when it comes to the NFL, because I hate to do that when it comes to sports, but something's a little fishy how a referee makes a call, picks up his flag, and then doesn't give a good enough explanation. And Jim Caldwell said it wasn't a good enough explanation.
It wasn't a good enough explanation. Yeah.
It's just outrageous, you know? Like, you feel sorry for the Lions fans that the game had to come down to that, you know? Because if you look at it, they were really punching the Cowboys in the mouth. They really were.
I mean, they were in the first quarter. It just sucks because, like, they were up. They scored two touchdowns in the first quarter and then, like, kind of nothing afterwards.
I know. You're right. That's how it literally happened. And you're sitting there like, oh, they've come out on fire, running game, Golden Tate scored the first touchdown. You're like, the Lions are going to run with this weight. And they put up another point. And you're like, okay, this is really getting out of hand right now. The Lions, they were up 14-0 at one point. You're like, if they come down and score another touchdown, make it 21-0, this game is over. But the flag gets picked up, and somehow, some way, momentum slowly changes. And now you have the people on the big network saying, you know, this is Ice Bowl 2. This is going to be the Ice Bowl. The last time these two teams met up is in the Ice Bowl, and blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, we still live in the past when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys franchise. That's how bad it has gotten that we still, or people on TV or radio, still live in the past with this franchise because they have not had no recent successes. I mean, the last time the Cowboys were in the playoff, at this point, in the divisional round, I think it was the NFC Championship, and then it was the divisional round against the Vikings a couple years ago, against Brett Favre. Brett Favre beat them guys, and then Brett Favre went to go play the Saints, and you know what happened in that game. You know, things happen.
Yeah.
But,
I mean,
other
they
than
just,
that,
they like
any
to,
other,
like, you know? Yeah, they like to live on that stuff, and then they still like to throw in the, you know, oh, well, you never won a Super Bowl. It's like, well, or the no ring thing. Well, the Eagles have three NFL championships, and it's just the semantics of the fact that it was before the game was named Super Bowl.
Right.
The Super Bowl is an NFL championship. So if you really want to get down to it on that kind of level, the Eagles do have three Super Bowl championships. So your argument is valid.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. But as I said, and we know this, and we know this all too well, all good and well, they harp on the past. And that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
They try to throw it in your face. But that's okay. Our time will eventually come. You know, the Cowboys had record-breaking years to win the division other than that. You know, that was their Super Bowl. That's I'm going to keep on saying that. Not to sound bitter or a hater, as people were like yesterday on Twitter, you're a hater, you're a Dallas Cowboys hater. Telling people that people are haters. You know, we don't got to go into all that nonsense. But other than that, Angela, any other thoughts on the playoff games this weekend that you might have seen highlights for or watched? Any other thoughts that you have about the playoffs before we go on to our last topic of the night?
There were some, like, good plays in that Steelers Ravens game, man. There was nice possession of the Ravens part. I mean, there was one where, like, it bounced off someone's hand, like, right to Torrey Smith, like, in the end zone. That was a good game.
And Steelers is really good. I enjoyed watching that because a lot of people were counting out the Ravens and a lot of people were riding the Steelers bandwagon, but this team was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde this whole entire season, and the Ravens came in there, punched him in the mouth. Flacco played well. He didn't turn over the ball. They were playing 4-down territory all night, as we found out when Flacco said in his press conference that they were going to go for it anyway on 4th and 4th down. And, you know, Flacco made nice plays, you know. Torrey Smith got a touchdown. Terrell Suggs had T. Sizzle from Boston Hart University made a tremendous interception. I don't know how he did that. Somehow getting the ball from his body to his thighs like that, that was just ridiculous. And the Ravens are a threat to beat the Patriots in New England. This Patriots team, don't get me wrong, even though they have Brady, you know, but Brady hasn't been the same since he won his last Super Bowl. Let's keep it real, folks. He hasn't been the same. And when you constantly neglect your wide receiver position and you're depending on your tight end, who, don't get me wrong, he's a good tight end, you're going to have problems. You're going to have problems. And we're going to see Baltimore go up there with no fear. And don't be surprised if Baltimore comes out of New England and Foxborough with a victory.
I'd love to say it. I think that'd be great.
And you might end up having a Ravens-Broncos rematch in the AFC Championship, but I'm not counting out Andrew Luck and the Colts against the Broncos. I'm not counting them out yet. I'm not. For some reason, I just can't, even though they don't have a running game. I'm just not counting on them. I'm just not discounting them yet because we saw Denver look pretty bad this season. If the Rams can beat them, then anything's possible in this NFL. That's what this season told me. Anything is possible.
Yeah, it was one of those seasons, man. It was like the way the records worked out.
Yep, because we saw on Saturday afternoon, 7-8 Carolina beats 11-5 Arizona, despite the crappy quarterback play in Arizona. I probably would have went with Logan Thomas instead of Ryan Lindley, but Bruce Arians, that's your choice. That's your pick. But we see a 7-8-1 team moving on. And you know, Carolina beat Seattle earlier in the year, 13-9, but I don't think Carolina's winning that game in Seattle anyway. But
No.
If that happens, then this whole playoffs is a wash if that happens. I'm just saying. If somehow Cam and them go up to Seattle and win, then that's just a whole different. That's just, you know, then you just say whatever happens, happens in the playoffs.
And Jesus, then the Cowboys could end up in the Super Bowl. And it just makes me want to vomit.
I highly don't think that's going to happen. And if they do make it. But think about it as an Eagles fan. Let's think about this as an Eagles fan before we. Think about this as an Eagles fan real quick. Say the Cowboys do get to Super Bowl, but if they lose, doesn't that bring you joy? Like, let's think about this. They lose in the Super Bowl. That just makes the rest of their season crappy. They were this close. They were this close. Yeah, they might have the NFC Championship, but then you get to play them in the regular season, so you get to beat the snot out of them for those two games. So it works out in a way. It works out.
Well, I don't want them to get to the Super Bowl, but I guess you just put a silver lining on it if they should get there.
Yeah, exactly. Silver lining, but they're not going to get that far. We know that for a fact.
No, no, no.
We have
no, not at all.
We have about 4:22 left in the podcast. And before we wrap it up tonight, wanted to bring the tone down just a little bit. As yesterday, as probably everybody knows, Stuart Scott, ESPN anchor, probably one of the, you know, somebody that, you know, brought the urban culture, but also not just for African-Americans, for everybody that's in me and Angela's age group. You know, we're around the same age group. Come on, folks. Let's be real. Like, but you can say, you know, Stuart Scott was somebody that helped us relate to sports in a different way, and it wasn't the prototypical, the way he talked about sports and the way he talked the way he did highlights wasn't the prototypical way. He did it with emotion. He did it with his style, his swag. And I think that's one of the, you know, one of the biggest things that I took from just watching ESPN last night and this morning was that, and I didn't, you know how you don't notice things when you watch it happening, but then you do see it and you sit there and now think about it, you say he really did it with his own style. And even though he took a risk with it, it shows us, just us, that young people that we're trying to get into this field, that you don't have to do it the corporate way, as Keyshawn John said, the corporate way to get in, that you can do it with your own style and flash and still make a difference and be a pioneer and, you know, do all that stuff. And that's where Stuart Scott was, you know. He did everything this way, and he was a person that just loved life and, you know, fought cancer 3 times, you know. And still, just this past year in 2014, when ESPN got the news that he was still out there doing his thing, and that's just a trooper, and that's somebody that really loves what they do and has fun doing it. I don't know if you got any words about Stuart Scott, Angela, but I know you probably do, because you watch probably ESPN as much as I did growing up.
Oh yeah, and he had his own voice, and he didn't care if it didn't conform to anything. Like, he just ran with it, and it was just so authentic and so him. And that's why the audience always loved him. And I guess, like, even when he said things that were unpopular, the network never cared, because it's just the audience loved him so much because we all connected with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a difference between a media personality that they talk in the diction that they're taught to succeed. Like, I have no personality and I am just going to talk without any kind of accent. You have those types of people. Then you have ones that just don't care about any of that. Like,
right.
We'll use verbal pauses because they don't care, because sometimes it just happens when you can't find a word and you just have to do it. And he had his own voice and his own personality, and he spoke to people, and he spoke to people who wanted to do what he did and what he loved to do every single day. And I think a lot of what he had to convey really benefits people like you and I and everyone out there like us who wants to do something with our lives in this field. How could you not look up to someone like that? And then how could you not mourn the loss of that kind of personality in the field? Because he really was that big of a personality in the field. And, you know, we could all hope to only be half of the broadcaster that he was.
Definitely, I would agree with that. And that's going to wrap the show here tonight on the TSL podcast. I'd like to thank for everybody for tuning in again today. We had a great show. Even Dallas Mike called in. Call in again, Dallas Mike. We would love to hear
from
you.
Yeah, thanks, Dallas Mike. Sorry, didn't mean to insult you.
Especially call back in next week, just depending on the result. Please still call back in. And everybody, thanks for tuning in again tonight. We had a good one tonight. And as we leave you off tonight, I would just like to say, as Rich Eisen said yesterday on NFL Network about his friend Stuart Scott, before you guys go to sleep tonight, as you lay there, turn your pillow to the cool side. That's going to wrap up the show tonight. Everybody, thanks again and have a good night.
Hi, everyone.